So it's another episode of Stick a Fork in It.
And welcome.
I am not Ev.
No, nor am I.
Yes.
So we have some concerns about this thing running off the rails.
Right. But he is close by because I overbooked the table. We have four seats and it was five people. So he's
at the
kids' table.
Don't give away who our guests are.
I'm not.
Well,
I didn't say anything. I just said I overbooked the table. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's a little weird being at the table without Ev. I feel a little adrift.
Right.
A little concerned
weird
about my
star.
Co-host's ability to be in charge, but we'll just keep plowing through.
Yeah. New to the show.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So
okay.
Today we have two really wonderful and lovely guests. But you know, it brings to mind, there mm-hmm. As a preview for the listener, it brings to mind TV couples.
Yeah.
So we've been thinking about these two, and we're going to introduce them in a moment. But we were talking about and thinking about what's been on my mind is famous TV couples. Now, I'm a little older than the average listener, probably. Maybe I'm – what do you think our demographic is? Shut-ins? People with no discernible
it's not
life?
An age limit. It's just if you're bored. I'm just kidding.
So first one comes to mind, Ricky and Lucy.
Yeah, but I still watched it. Yeah,
right,
of
but
course.
There you go. They were a famous couple.
They're cute.
Couple.
They're funny.
They got divorced.
We're going to find out if their relationship is like that a little bit, like, you know.
What other famous couples work together?
So
TV.
For me, you know, you need to say all of yours because mine are going to give a hint.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Kind
what?
Of.
Really, you think? What about Kelly Ripa and Mark Ripa? No, that's not his name. He goes by something else, right?
Consuelos.
But really, he's Mark Ripa. Let's just be honest. He's really Mark Ripa.
Oh, how rude. He's from here.
Yeah, but I think he's really on the show because of her. Do you think?
Oh, of course.
Right?
It's been her show.
So we'll call
since,
him Mark
gosh,
Ripa, no. Kelly and Mark Ripa.
Oh, you just won.
Who else do you have?
You just won with that
Who
one.
Who else do you have? You got anybody at all? Famous
so I
TV
went,
couples?
And I went, we went old school too, because we're old. So I was thinking more news and people. So I went with, you guys remember Maury Povich? Christina Chung?
You are not the father. Of course.
So Maury Povich is not Christina Chung.
What?
It's Connie Chung.
Connie.
Oh, I put Christina. Well, I just
you
make myself younger.
You have to
younger.
Fire up the Googler and look for these
the
things.
Googler. Clearly, I do.
All right, now here's a couple I loved. Great TV show. Sneaky great TV show. Did you ever watch The Americans?
No.
Mm. Great show. Kerry Russell, Matthew Reese. Fabulous show. Great couple. They play spies from Russia in the 70s
Russia.
That infiltrate the United States and wreak havoc.
I need the link to the movie.
Huh? Great couples.
Watch it. Okay.
So
well,
Maury Povich and Connie Chung.
Connie Chung. Christina. I gave her a new name. Maybe that's her child. I don't know.
So who was more influential in their career? Maury Povich with the trash TV show or Connie Chung who was at one point was on national news.
Yes.
With Dan. This was a big thing.
It was
she got
because
to share
I
a
loved
table
it because I was
Dan
a girl
Rather.
And she was a
and look what
girl
it did.
Making it happen. And that's why I picked them, not because of
Well, look
who's
what happened to Dan
daddy.
Rather after Connie Chung was with him.
What?
He ended up having some sort of incident in Central Park. He was getting other frequencies. You don't remember all that?
No.
Oh, boy. Google that.
Okay. Well, we're going to ask our guests because head's nodding.
I wonder if they have famous TV couples that they have emulated. Do you think?
Oh.
Do you think that there's like a brand standard out there in their industry that they say this is who we want to be like?
Or they're going to break the mold themselves is kind of how I think. But so these are great friends of ours. They help us tell our stories all the time, engage with us, and really have helped our entire community know who Fading Tampa Bay is and what we do. I spent a lot of time with this young lady, Miss Natalie Taylor from Morning Blend.
Welcome.
Hello. So excited to be here. Had this circled on my calendar. Glad the day's finally arrived.
Yes. And then I'm really excited because this is the first time they've been kind of on a show together. Walter Allen.
Hi.
And everybody knows him. Come on. Fox 13.
It's a big day.
It's so a welcome big day to the Junior.
Welcome
Tampa Bay.
To Stick a Fork in It.
Thank you.
Famous TV couples.
Those names you mentioned, those are marquee names. We are not in that. We're not in that level.
Well, if they're not on that level, why are they here?
That's what we said.
Who are you these people?
I have hope and promise. Yes, because I feel that way.
Huh. Now, we've both been guests on your shows.
Yeah,
so first question, what does it feel like to be a guest on someone else's show?
I always prefer asking the questions, so this is always a unique spot for me. I'm used to asking you two questions,
so you know how we prepared for this. I emailed Walter and asked him to give me some inappropriate or awkward questions to ask you, so I do have
to make you uncomfortable
today.
You have a whole folder. It was paragraphs and paragraphs of stories.
So Shannon asked this, is this your first time on some sort of set like this together, or did you start out this way?
Well, we kind of started out this way.
We started out this way. Yes. We were on air. We worked at the same station in Columbus, Ohio. We were on the same show.
She was the cool sports chick, and I was like the
Wait, you were sports?
Yeah. See, I didn't really know that until I dug in. Yes.
I didn't fire up the Googler. I'm
on that one, I did. Yes.
Oh. You were sports?
Yeah, sports. Tampa Bay's sports Morning Blend is my first non-sports job.
Yeah.
I worked for Fox Sports for over a decade. I did a stint at local television when I met this one here and met Walter, and that's the time we were working together at the same station. Then I went back to Fox Sports, and before we got married, because our relationship came out in the open, we had to keep it quiet.
Did they make you do that? Or is that just the best we chose to keep it quiet?
But we were together a solid year before it came out. And so we were on air together. No one knew we were together.
Do you think
while
people
we
suspected?
Yes.
Yeah,
we got viewer emails. We did.
That'd be hard to hide.
Viewers
and
did email.
We were not
us.
Nearly as sly as we thought?
Apparently not. I blame Walter.
True story. She came in on her interview, and I had like a nice tight pair of khakis. That's what sold the deal. My rear end.
All right.
She said, that's it.
Spilling.
So would you mind standing up and turning around for a moment? Just let's give the viewer a look at this.
Thomas, yes. You cannot encourage him.
Those are, my goodness. Well done, you.
Oh.
Both.
Right.
And actually, I just shared this on my social networking.
A picture of his tush?
No, not that. He tries to maybe do that, but no. I did share some old pictures because our date of that interview was 15 years ago earlier this week.
Happy anniversary. I saw that.
It was our anniversary of when he literally walked into my life during my interview for that station. And I did take notice.
Tell your perspective of it.
It was kind of at first like one of those I'm interviewing with the news director at the time and trying to, you know.
Coming from Atlanta,
Fox Sports. I've got my suit on, you know. I'm all.
Shoulder pads.
Probably.
Yeah.
and feeling it, feeling good. And in comes this, at the time
Mr.
I Bu- said.
Mr. Buns.
No. Oh. At first it was this insecure news reporter runs in during the middle of my interview to have his scripts proofread. And I was like, who's this reporter that just runs in during an interview to get, hello? Like, the boss is doing an interview here.
Right.
Well, who is this
guy?
I'm here.
A good
come on.
Blonde.
And then it was kind of like I took notice. I was like, oh, well, he is kind of cute at least. Lola
there you go.
The future
there
was calling. I had to storm in there.
15 years. Here we are doing the podcast.
All right. So let's talk a little bit. I'll interview and find out the history of Natalie.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So how do you get into sports reporting? How does that start? How does one get into the whole field of, hey, I want to be on TV?
Fell into my lap. And it's funny we're talking about this because we just talked about this on Tampa Bay's Morning Blend. We were talking about people we look up to. I always was into journalism. I have a degree in journalism. All Barbara right. Walters was my idol. I just was watching the documentary.
Not Christina Chung?
Christina. not Christina.
How rude.
He's not going to let that go, but
never.
I
it's going to be the whole
either.
Time. Yep. She blew
the good
it.
News is I let things go easily.
That's true. That is true.
And so I was always journalism. And then I went to Bowling Green State University.
Okay.
And if we have any sports listeners, fans, at that time, the head football coach was a guy by the name of Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the basketball coach was Dan Dockage, who actually spent many years on ESPN.
Yeah.
And I started to get to know some of the athletes and went to the games and got to know the athletic program.
But you went to school for journalism thinking you would get into writing or television?
Television.
Okay.
I always loved television.
Okay.
I came from a great high school program.
I was going to say, you were doing it in high school.
I was the anchor for the morning announcements. Oh, it was no question. TV's all I've ever wanted to do.
Really?
100%.
How cool is that?
It was what I wanted to do since I was,
oh, wow.
You know,
I love
14,
that.
15. I love the business of TV, the editing, the shots, the background. I mean, I always knew I wanted
who's
to do
who's the first? I know you said Barbara Walters, but
yes.
Who's the first person? Like when you started watching television, like who were you really attracted to?
I grew up in a news household.
Okay.
So we were evening news people every night. You didn't miss it. So it was right. Your Peter Jennings. It was your Dan Rather.
Yeah.
It was the Today Show. I grew up watching Katie and Matt back
yes.
in the day, you know,
yeah. yep.
and just even see them. Joan London, Charlie yeah. Gibson.
So all
I mean,
those
Good
people
Morning America.
Were formative in your whole, like, yeah. this is what I want to do. Okay.
And I remember getting to meet the local news anchors. From my hometown,
oh,
and so just
and they
always
were mythic,
being in awe.
Right?
Oh
yes.
Yeah, I remember seeing like the meteorologist shopping at a mall one
right.
time,
and it's like, oh my
and it was
god,
like, oh, yeah,
they're
yes.
on that TV
yes.
thing,
and I just loved that.
Yeah.
And then I, yeah, I went
and so sports,
and then again, getting to know the athletic department, I was asked to kind of do the coaches show. And I was like, well, you know, I do smile a lot. Maybe I smile too much for news anyway.
Did you like sports? Or have you always been a sports person?
I was a
person?
Cheerleader. I mean, so I was always around the game, the games. But I learned to like sports. I mean, mm-hmm. I covered hockey for 4 years in the NHL with Fox Sports. And I have a book that John Davidson, who I ended up covering, legendary broadcaster
yeah, yeah.
and coach,
uh-huh.
he wrote a book, Hockey for Dummies. And I would go out and buy the book. And I would learn
oh.
everything I needed to do. Because I didn't want to be the chick on the sidelines
right.
that didn't know what she was talking about.
Well, and it's
about.
Complex. It's not an easy sport to right, call or be around,
still
right?
Still try to describe icing. I mean, it's
right.
still one of those, you know,
I've
things.
Gone back and like, what is that again? Like, even yeah. I look at Hockey for Dummies because I'm like, huh? yeah.
So aside from chasing so blondes in the newsroom, what's
yeah.
your background?
yeah.
My background was I went to a small commuter school in Denver, Metropolitan State College of Denver. Truth be told, I partied a little bit too hard in high school, so I went there to prove to my parents that I could handle the college life,
yeah.
and then I just stayed.
I think,
and,
you know, just want to point out, looking at Walter, that just like all that like makes sense,
it does,
right?
Yes.
It just kind of,
yes.
you just go,
doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did it.
It's one of many stories, which is why I'm sober now, 2-3 years, exactly.
yeah.
Yeah, so I went to Metro State. I didn't know what I wanted to do. At first, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. Too much reading. Thought I wanted to be a pilot. Too much math. So I'm like,
process
what can I do?
Process of elimination.
Yeah,
yes.
what can I do?
Not that.
I like to talk. And the professor who's supposed to teach my class ended up passing like a couple of weeks before. So they ended up ooh. in a
– As a result of something you did?
No. I never met him. Never met him.
Rumors started here.
But yeah, as fate would have it, like they just got this reporter who was in Denver for like 30 years. He was the first reporter at Columbine.
Oh,
and they
wow.
got him to teach this class. And I remember the first thing he said, hey, did everybody get the book? And we said, yeah, we got it. He said, throw it away. It's all old stuff.
Your kind of person.
Yeah, this yes. is my guy.
This is my guy. And then I started doing, you know, more and more TV stuff. And then I did the college TV show. And then first job in Casper, Wyoming, then Columbus, Ohio, Indianapolis, now down here.
Casper, Wyoming. Yep. You're going to have to give me some tips on that one.
So you guys meet. You're doing the regular programming, I guess. You're a reporter.
The news. Was I filling in anchoring at the time or was
you filled in a lot, yeah. But
yeah.
you were also
yeah. – So that's why he had to have it checked.
Apparently, yes. Because he was an anchor in Casper.
Yeah.
He had never
right.
done a lot of reporting. So when he came to Columbus, it was a big market jump ooh. For people who know the ooh. TV business. Ooh. You know, you start out at a higher number, a smaller yeah. market, and
yeah.
you climb your way. And Casper, Wyoming was like market – 97, one.
Casper,
I was going to say 125.
Was 198.
Oh, gosh. I was close. I said 195.
Out of 214, 198.
198. And
yep.
that's where he started, main anchor.
Yeah.
Some great pictures. He looked like a Lego man. He tried to do his hair like the swoop to yeah. make himself look older.
I can find it on my phone if you
yeah. want. Yeah, wait, please
to.
Do.
It's in there.
Yeah. And so he hadn't had news experience. So then when he got to Columbus, you needed to get a little more reporting experience.
So this isn't meant as a shot at Walter, really.
You can take as many shots as you want. If you don't take them, she will.
So how does, in your industry,
yeah.
there are, you know, trained journalists, yes, people who studied the profession that see it as Ev, our producer of the show, is yep, has a master's degree in his in this field, right?
Yes.
So there's a trained person who grew up in this industry, as you said, and then there is a person who has a personality.
Yes, right.
Not to be unfair,
no,
but right, somebody that is more of, hey, I'm good on camera.
Yes.
How do you guys see each other in the profession? What is the esteem, ooh, of one or the other? Not you two, although you can answer that, but how does one see the other?
I personally feel I don't mind how people got into it. I think, okay, it's fascinating how people get into it.
There's not a hierarchy of...
I don't think so, because you know what has changed and why I don't think there's a hierarchy? Maybe back 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but now our business has changed so much because of social networking and influencers,
right,
that we,
right,
almost bind together now. I don't mind why you got into the business, the fact that you have a degree in journalism, you've cut your teeth, you've paid your dues. That's a respectable thing now.
Yeah.
Because we need to kind of group together, especially since media is changing so much.
Yeah.
And no offense to, you know, social influencers or things, but I mean, that's more where I see the competition than what you were.
It's interesting, wow, because, yeah, so similar to you, I grew up on news.
Yeah.
I've often shared one of my formative experiences, we always had the evening news on, but was watching the 73 Watergate hearings with my mother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I watched those all summer, and I remember the profession. We all read the Washington Post, and we followed, mm-hmm, the process of, and we had Conan from the Times on a few weeks, mm-hmm, ago, talking about the process of journalism and its ethical responsibilities and the weight and responsibility of it, right? How important that was. And so my ethic has always been around that.
Yes.
But you're right. Someone that has no journalism experience can come into the profession now in a very different way. And perhaps you look at Joe Rogan.
Yes,
I don't know anything about the man's background, but seeing him on news radio, he is now one of the most influential voices,
yeah, absolutely,
in our country.
So we're together. And I truly think the true journalist today, and I'll even say towards him and myself, to say I'm a true journalist anymore or ever was, I never really was. I think your writers, your newspaper writers,
yeah,
Tampa Bay Times, we subscribe because, mm-hmm, we want to support as much as we can. I still feel like those are the true journalists. Investigative reporters,
yeah,
those are,
right,
the true journalists. I mean, at this point in my career, I get to have fun, you know, so, yeah, I to say I would, right, classify myself as a true journalist, more so you, I would think. You still go out in the field and tell,
yeah,
stories.
How do you feel about this whole subject? What do you think your responsibility is as a storyteller, as a person that is in a traditional media source now, right? It's always fun to watch, particularly folks that are holding press conferences, blame the media for everything,
yeah. Yeah. Right?
Right. It's hard.
Even though, ironically, they just came from the media.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Right.
Right? How do you look at that now as a journalist? Because you have other people in your field that wouldn't even have the same background, standards, or training you have.
Yeah, I just – that's a very good question. I guess the way that I approach everything is – and I don't know if I'm answering your question or not, but I remember Meet the Press – Tim Russert.
Yep.
Remember Tim Russert?
Oh, I do. One of the great losses in our,
right,
lifetimes.
Yes. His big thing was know everything you can know about a subject and then take the other side. That was all he ever did. All he ever did. So that's kind of the way I approach everything. When I approach scripts in the morning or when I'm trying to tell somebody's story, just know everything about it and just try to paint both sides of everything.
Do you think you're able to do that in today's day and age, or is partisanship – because that's going to sell more stories.
Yeah.
Is that making it harder to do your job? Is it harder to maintain a sense of middle of the road or fairness?
It can be more challenging nowadays because everything is it seems more polarized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. We had a local high school on in for a tour, and we talked about just bias in general. Everybody has some sort of bias. If you know, we try to not bring it in, right, you know, and stay middle of the road, but you know, deep down you have bias. Mm. So you try to leave that at the door and Yeah. I don't know if am I answering your question?
I was going to say, I hope you don't mind me sharing it. You've come home before, and I know you have made an effort, and you do make an effort every day to tweak your scripts, write your own work, to take out any bias. I mean, you have really said that he stresses that because there is such a cloud around journalism right now, especially media and news, that it's like that is the last thing that you want to do is ever to be accused of that. So you, I think, have to take an extra step that maybe you didn't have to take the step before.
The responsibility is probably greater now, maybe, than ever before.
But it's less. But it's less sorry, I'm geeking out on this. So if I'm cutting you off,
I'm watching you roll.
I think it's more important than ever, but less valued than ever.
Yes,
agreed.
Right. So isn't that what you guys are facing as what we're considered thoughtful journalists? We use that term is less popular today, perhaps, than it ever has been.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
And it's tough.
How do you do that in the fields that you're in? And how do you continue to maintain ratings and support and interest in your work? How does that – again, not specifically about two of you. I'm really asking your industry. How do you do that?
I think it's tough. I'm thankful we are in the positions that we are in at this point in our career where this could absolutely be our forever. I feel bad for kids and people who are younger than us trying to, you know, make their name right now and doing it the right way because they have a cloud bigger while they're coming up than we ever had on us. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the future of journalism is, and it worries me. Yeah. It makes me it breaks my heart. I love this business, and I think we've seen such a negative change, and you hope it'll swing back. He always says it's, you know,
the pendulum goes back and forth. I think just for us, especially like on the news side of things, you get to have all the fun.
I know. I have but a fun show now.
On the news side of things, I think it's just important to day in and day out just to do your best to keep it as middle of the road as you can. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it takes years to build trust, and it only takes one story to destroy it. Yeah. So the responsibility is great. Pressure. Very careful and thoughtful of every story that we have.
Isn't it harder? Isn't it harder right
this
now because you don't just go to
– this is a professional show going on right here.
I'm writing notes
on the back of a piece of paper because I can't remember things.
Okay. What are you doing? So my thought is you have to also work harder because of the social. Like we talked about your idea to keep up. For instance, we started this podcast 5 years ago to have a different medium, a different voice, a different audience. With all the competition with digital, social, all of that, you can't just show up to work, do your gig, and leave, right?
No, it is.
It's a lot.
So much more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you think of the people too, you know, even like, you know, the photogs, you know, it's a short term for photographers out there, the guys behind the camera. I mean, those jobs, for instance, is another example. I mean, you see less and less of those jobs because of, you know, people can shoot with their phone.
Yeah,
we used to not be okay with that. Mm-hmm. We used to not be used to seeing cell phone video on air, and now we see it regular. Well, guess what that's done to all of those jobs?
Terrible.
Yeah, some you have to work harder. You have to find ways to get viewers and you have to be responsible for your social networking. But then there's this negative side that it's also taken away a lot of jobs in our business.
Wow. Yeah, it's an interesting thing because as you talked about, Natalie, and I would agree with, and we talked to Conan about the Fourth Estate and the obligation that journalism has to make sure that communities are held accountable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And individuals are held accountable and that there's not necessarily always truth to power, but that there is always a sense that someone out there is, you know, asking a question that should be asked.
Mm-hmm.
That requires the responsibility of the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But we live now in a society where if you watch any press conference, you see virtually no political debates anymore because no one wants to get outside of their echo chamber. Yeah. The question I have is how do you guys reach out past your audience to a person that's not necessarily listening to or interested in you, or are you guys in an echo chamber now as well?
Oof. I mean, I think we come from different sides.
Well, you're on two very different stations. Yeah. You have two very different audiences, right? How do you think about that? Are you speaking to people, Walter, that know you well and know what you think? Or do you think you're always trying to – are you trying to make sure they stay or are you trying to make sure more come?
I would say both. Yeah. I mean,
do you think you can in this day and age?
I think we can. I don't want to throw anybody else's station under the bus, but I think we're in a particular
with the wink for the record.
Wow,
with,
ouch.
And we do tease each other.
Right. Am I on camera?
Now
I'm on camera.
All right, now we're ready.
I think, and believe me, Rome was built long before I got here. But I think we're in a unique position that we're on for 6 hours a day, so we can cover all the stories and we can let them breathe and. We have something for everybody. Yeah. So I think that helps us to not only retain our viewership, you know, those who lean right, and then there's those who lean left. I mean, you have hard Republican stories on our newscast this morning, but then you also have Pride Parade in St. Pete that's going on this weekend. So
do you think that's a function of Tampa? Being in Tampa? Do you think that's why they both can play?
I think for our demographic, yes, because I think Hillsborough County, downtown Tampa, downtown St. Pete leans blue. And then, you know, you get in the center of the state of Florida, then that's more red. That's more of a red part of the state.
Yeah. I was with Mayor Castor the other night in an event, and our mayor, for the listener, is a very middle-of-the-road kind of person. Mm-hmm. She was police chief for 31 years and so requires a particular set of skills and viewpoints, and there's certainly nothing she hasn't seen. And then as a person who is proudly married to a woman and has a different viewpoint about that, it's interesting that she is held in the esteem that she is in our community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's a really well-respected and well-earned respected mayor. But in communities, this is getting more difficult to find a place to stand in the middle.
That is true. And you know what? I think I wish that we could use her and that relationship and her career path as kind of a blueprint to say, to look past maybe personal things and just look at the person. Right. Look how great Jane is. And
she
Anna.
She is to everyone.
And yeah. And
no matter who you are.
They're fantastic. Yeah. They're and hardworking, very intelligent people. They've been so great to our community.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how you overcome it, by seeing everyone and being able to talk to everyone.
Yeah.
The kindness.
So they brought the subject up, Shannon. I feel like we should stick a finger under the scab and pick.
Are we teasing?
Oh, Lord. Oh, no.
Harder questions than that?
No.
We were digging deep.
So rival stations.
Yes.
How does that work?
In your household.
How does that work in
with
a household?
Wink.
Well, I mean.
Is there a quote unquote Chinese wall so we don't discuss certain things?
You know, in my past, trying to get hired in this market when we first moved here.
So Walter came first?
Walter came first.
Yeah, I got the job first.
Yeah, Walter came first. I left Fox Sports.
I had money on him being the trailing spouse. You?
I kind of did too.
You would think so because she has her maiden name.
I do. I still rock
she doesn't
the
claim
name.
Me on air.
Like Mark Rippa.
Like Mark Rippa. That's the couple I want to be like. You were talking about couples we want to be like. That is the dream for us.
Is that your dream?
If I could look like Mark, that would be great. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Stop it.
Stop. You have your own look. Nothing.
He's got a nice tuchus. We've seen it.
I know.
It's not Mark Consuelo's good, but it's good.
I don't know. You're up there, buddy. If I do say so. So how do you guys manage dual households? Competing households.
I don't think it's ever been a thing. We joke, but I don't think it's ever been a thing with us. There were bosses that would not hire me because I was married to him.
That would be the question.
I went, and I'm not going to say station names, but I have had two – well, and you can process of elimination. You can think about it. If you go to this market, I had two stations. One, I mean, adamant, will not hire me.
I mean, she walked
in
the door for the interview and was just like, I'm not going to hire you.
You are married to Walter Allen. Yeah.
So what do you think their objection is? I think we probably could surmise, but what do you think their objection is?
Well, and that's what I've always told my boss, who I am so lucky to work for, a great guy.
He's a great boss.
And he was like, I don't care because we're not doing the same things.
Right.
Now, if I were an anchor at my station in the morning, that would be a little more competitive. Yeah. But the fact that he's a news anchor, I have a lifestyle show. We're not even in competing time slots.
Yeah, we're 4 to 10. Like, she's 10 to 11.
Yeah. So it really, you know, my boss was cool about it. There's some jokes. For a while, they were like, do we have to put pictures of Walter up on our air? I'm like, well, he's my husband. Yes. And I'm talking about him as the dad or daughter. And we're sharing family pictures. So there's a little – our bosses will continue to make comments about pictures showing up on air and vice versa. Yeah. You'll put some up and it's like, Walter, really? But we're
now
talking
about
spouses.
You cramming each other's ratings in each other's faces? Like, are you dropping?
I don't have
ratings?
To.
Yeah, I was going to say there's only one. There's only one who's
Yes. Wow.
Yes. Like I said, I don't.
Do you
take,
come home and that's on the fridge? The ratings report.
You know, ratings I don't came ever in look at ratings. Are. I truly, our show, we do not ever have to look at ratings.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But he'll tell me what they are.
I'll tell her what I mean.
And we're the number one lifestyle show in the market.
Yes,
so
you are.
I love when he tells me that.
Yes, you
so he
are.
Does tell me that.
I mean, our station has been around since the mid '60s. It's a legacy station.
It is.
Rome was built before I got here. It's just everybody just that's just what they do. They just go to Fox. So we're lucky that way.
So you mentioned, I just don't want to let this go by. We followed you both of your careers, and so we certainly enjoyed those. And as Shannon mentioned at the top of the show, we have really had such a great time getting to know some of the folks that are really embedded in our community. Yeah. Like you, we see a lot of the young reporters, all of which we can watch. We can, in fact, we're now coaches as they come into
sometimes.
Our
yes.
Oh, oh yes.
Right? Yeah. No, I think you might want to put the camera over here. Or you know, have you thought about this kind of shot?
Yes, I bet. Right.
Which is great. They're
because
they're trying to make their way, you know, and they're
But that's a change. We used to see, you know, when we see people who are in their 20-somethings in a market of this size, 10 years ago, you didn't see that.
Right.
Yeah. Good point.
I mean, you had to be like Walter and climb the ladder. Yeah. And so it is very – this is now becoming a teaching market, which is very bizarre.
For a market of this size and scope.
Exactly.
So you operate boy, I sure have loved being on there. I think Shannon may have shared with you my secret hope in life is to be a talk show host.
Yes. Yep.
But you've had a couple
of
different –
Donahue thing going on right here, right? You just need the microphone to bang on your
Donahue,
head.
I felt like that was an age joke, Shannon. Do you think that was an age joke? Because it feels
suspicious. It's more of a hair color joke, actually.
Oh, there we go.
This is dyed.
maybe Phil was the inspiration.
So, to my question, Walter. You've had different co-hosts, and you've been a longer tenured morning
show. I've been there since day one.
Right. Has Walter ever been consideration for one of your co-hosts, or would you interview him? Would you consider him as a co-host?
I think the bosses would have a hard time with. So that's
be
where
like, no,
my dream of doing the Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos or Mark Ripa.
No, it's Mark Ripa.
My dream of doing that would be very hard because I don't think it would ever be able to happen at either one of our stations.
I don't think they would ever go for it.
Going back to our opening, you know, so I think Shannon and I know each other well. We're similar age, similar life experience. We have pretty good chemistry. So it works to, right? Mm-hmm. You guys would have a significant chemistry, I would assume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would be attractive, right?
What I will say has been really fun about this market is that now people know we're married and we get to do charity events together. And that just started within the last 2 years.
Yep.
And organizations have come to us and been like, well, why didn't we do that before? I didn't realize Natalie also was on air. And it's like, I mean, who better to be on stage with than your spouse? I know what he likes to say. He knows what I like to say. It works. And so I'm really glad we might not get to do it on air, but we are getting to do it in, you know, a philanthropic way.
What event? Crohn's and colitis?
Yes.
What's nice about doing it with your spouse is when your brain shuts off and you have the microphone in front of hundreds of people, she knows exactly when to jump in. My brain, I don't know where I was going with some story, and it was just like, and she just jumped right in. And she's like, thank God.
And truly, I don't like names. I'm not very good at names. Right. If I see a name
and
I have it.
Rank or name.
Rank or names. Those are not my strong points. I just immediately, he knows he's going to have to do that part of the script. So that's really
interesting.
Fun. But I love it. I wish a station would give us a chance because I think
so
we have
could
a good
you,
show.
I know you host a podcast now. You started your own podcast.
Ish. Video well, the station. Yeah, the
yeah,
station.
The
so that's where I was going with the question. Could the two of you host your own podcast, or would
that
be outside your contract?
You know,
I'm getting ready for a contract negotiation, so I don't know.
I would assume that would be outside
of
our
contract.
Well, just as a way to...
Yeah, would that still influence if you did something? Would they be
because they own and
they own our likeness?
Yeah, they own all of that.
So you don't have an AI deal?
No,
we don't have an AI deal. I know.
I have to pay you guys to come on your show. It's the opposite. We don't receive royalties. No,
that'd be interesting to write. I don't know that it'd be interesting to work with your spouse all the time. It's enough that you guys are in the same industry.
I think we could do it.
You do?
Oh, totally. I know. Yeah, we totally could. Yeah. And it would be, I think it would be very similar to Mark and Kelly in the sense that
he knows my looks. I would give
I can poke a little bit and get something out of her, you know.
Do you think that's what makes their show good?
Yeah.
100%. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, and you get to know them even more, and it's just entertaining.
So. I tease.
You're on the inside.
They're on the same time slot as my show is. And I joke because my mom would rather watch Kelly and Mark. And I hear and Mark's stories. Then she does. I'm like, did you watch your daughter? Well, Kelly was telling me this today. And her and Mark went here.
Did you know Kelly and Mark are from St. Pete Beach? Did you know Kelly and Mark are here all the time?
And she doesn't know what I have on my show. But Kelly and Mark are household names. So that is
thanks,
who we aspire
mom.
To.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get into this business, the goal is always to be as natural as you can be. 100% yourself. And I think that's being with your spouse, you know, warts and all. They know everything about you, so you can't hide anything.
And we're open books to a fault, as you're probably able to tell now.
Interesting. That'd be a whole other dynamic. You guys, you know, if we need a substitute co-host for Stick a Fork in It.
Yeah. There
you go. You guys could come in and sit down. You could have Ev with you instead of the two of us.
Ev'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys got married in Florida. How did you come to Florida? What did you came first? How did you decide?
Well, you
this
always
was
wanted
be your
to be here.
Well,
you
I
wanted
mean,
to come
you
here.
You know how it is. I mean, when people live in Ohio, you live north on 75. Where do you vacation? And my grandparents, I mean, my grandpa actually built some of the roads in South Florida. He had an asphalt company. And so, roads up in the summer in Ohio, in the Midwest, and then travel south to Florida.
Oh, wow.
In the, Miami area, Fort Myers area. So my family lived in Venice for a while, like grandparents.
Yes.
So I always traveled here being little.
Yeah,
and so I always wanted to, this was a vacation spot. I always wanted to live in Florida. That was always a long-term goal. Now, being from Denver, you'd never been to Florida. You didn't travel. I mean, it was like you'd go to California.
California or Vegas. That was our playground. So
he kind of took my word on it when I said I wanted to get married in Florida. And we did a small wedding at the exact same time that a station here reached out to him.
Oh, wow.
So he was getting married in Florida, his first experience while starting interviews here in Tampa. So it kind of happened very
I was going to say, the then news director, John Hoffman, we were talking on the phone, I think, I was at the pool. And he said, well, I got this reporter gig, but it's not an anchor. And I said, well, I'm really looking to be on the desk. That's my first passion. So I think at that point, I hadn't, agreed. He hadn't found something for me. But then later on, he did.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, he's like, stick with me. I'll get you there, right?
So Florida kind of won him over. And then, he ended up having a position a few months later. Mm-hmm. So, I left my job at Fox Sports Ohio covering the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, came down here. And it took me about a year and a half before they started Tampa Bay's Morning Blend.
Gotcha.
And I had to convince my boss to give me a chance, even though I was Walter Allen's wife, and that I was always sports. But as I said, lifestyle show, I'm telling you, this is where I've always wanted to be. Yeah. I can use my sports background. It's going to help the show. And thank goodness he let me audition.
Yeah.
And I was able to get the job.
And you've been the steady presence, as you said, on that show.
We're going to be celebrating 10 years next year. So very proud of that.
Well done that. Yeah.
Right.
So
to look a day over nine.
So both of you have been, you mentioned a couple of different things that you covered. What are news stories that you covered that have stuck with you? I know yours might be sports oriented, but both of you, what are stories that were formative to you in your own reporting that that you think about today even?
What's awful is that it's the bad stories.
Of course. We would assume
that always stick with you. Phoebe Johnchuck, if you remember that story, that stuck with me ever since. That was the little girl who was thrown over the side of the bridge by her father. That stuck with me. Pulse Nightclub stuck with me. And that same week was the same week that Lane Graves was dragged under by an alligator at Disney. And so I remember we were getting ready for a live shot at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the producer says, okay, you're going to be second in line. And I'm Pulse Nightclub. How am I second in line? What is bigger than this? And then I found out about Lane. I'm like, okay, wow. That is big. I mean,
and how do you process a story like that as you're going through it? How do you navigate that moment as a human? But as with the responsibility, a lot of us think about Kennedy and Walter Cronkite. But how do you navigate?
I was pregnant at the time.
Oh boy!
So he's also an expectant
girl.
He's an expectant father while he was doing those stories.
Yeah.
I think what's nice about my station is they encourage you to be you, and so if I did. just happened to be human at that moment. I mean, obviously you can't come out in judgment one way or the other.
Right.
But if you were to shed a tear or maybe express a little bit of frustration or anger, I think that is okay because that's just a real response. And so I try my best to check the emotion at the door and just present the facts. But it's hard. It is when you have a story like Phoebe, who is, I mean, I'll remember her face to this day. And every time we drive over that bridge.
Yep. We talk about it.
Yeah.
I was sports, so I don't have anything as emotional.
Yours could be good then.
Not necessarily.
Not that the Columbus Blue Jackets have ever done anything other than
Blue Jackets, the Atlanta Thrashers, nothing good.
So your beat was primarily crappy teams.
It was. I know. I think I should take.
Do you see a pattern here?
I never cover a successful team, and we're super excited as a station because we're now the home of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
We know that.
And there's part of me that's like, are they sure? I don't.
She's the cooler of professional sports teams.
I know. I don't have a good track record.
That is a great reference and an even better movie. Oh.
Just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
there's a funny story. When I was your intern for a day. Do you want to tell them that story?
Oh, that was a funny story. Yeah, people knew we were dating. People knew we were dating. And one of the things, you know, with the NHL, you do a bench hit during the pregame show, you know, and I was the ringside reporter. So I'm getting ready to do my bench hit and he's with me with like my audio guy and, you know, obviously your photog at the time. And you know the players, and they have more control over the puck than you can even imagine, more than I even have over, like, this water bottle. So they're all teasing me, and they'll, like, slam the pucks as hard as they can up against the boards while I'm sitting there, you know, doing my hits. And this
one— Unfazed. Completely unfazed.
Completely unfazed. Because, again, they know how to handle the puck.
Right.
They know what they're doing. Yeah. They're doing it just to harass me and have some fun. I look over and he's hiding.
Oh, stop it.
Because he's scared that he's going to get
the corner of like where the glass, where it, you know, it's perpendicular to each other. I was in the corner. I was like, okay, so this is the angle that I could least get hit in the face with the puck.
And I'm trying to be like, oh, you know, and tell him, you know, my friends at this point who are the players. Oh, yeah, this is my, you know, boyfriend. Oh, dear.
And then he's like,
there's my boyfriend hiding.
What was really nice is that he was clearly concerned with your safety.
Yeah.
Every man for himself out there, I'm telling you. It's a jungle.
Oh, wow. What's up with that?
So you mentioned.
Oh no, please.
You mentioned you're pregnant. You guys are parents.
Yes.
You know, this is in the time of when kids are going back to school. Tell us a little bit about. You know, it's hard to be a working parent, right?
Yeah,
I'm this beautiful girl that you're lucky,
and so are you. I think one of the questions, and I don't mean to answer for him, but again, that's what spouses do. I think. People always ask, do you ever want to make the move to nights? Because I think that there is still a reputation.
Yeah, there is.
There is still a lure of nighttime
more
anchors.
Gravitas of
Yes, yeah. They're the face of the station. But I'm like, can I vote in this? Because honestly, his morning shift allows for him to be completely home in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I have a great team and a great boss that when my show's done taping, it's worked out that I also have the afternoon. So he may go to bed at 6:30 at night.
Right.
And my daughter may not know a world where she doesn't put dad to bed. Which is unusual, you know? I mean, people will come to the house like, why is your dad in bed? And it's like, well, this is our life, you know? But because of our schedules, because of our bosses, we actually get a lot of time together. I mean, we get every afternoon together. I take her to, you know, take her to school, take her to camp, take her to whatever on my way to the station because he's already at work, but he always does the pickup. He goes to dance lessons. He goes to golf. I mean, he is in the afternoons.
Coach flag football.
And I get to as well most times.
Yeah.
So wait, dance lessons, golf, flag football. Those are
for
extras?
Your kids or you?
Yeah.
Is it influenced by what are these choices?
Golf is her number one right now.
It is.
I hope that
you
sticks.
Drove the bus on that. I really didn't.
Family grew up golf. I grew up golfing. My family's all golfers.
Yeah.
She's all about golf. If she can be on the golf course, she's happy. I'm also a dancer, so I try to keep ballet lessons in there too if the schedules allow. And he's been great with it.
And which the two have complemented each other very well. Her balance from ballet that she takes into golf is great. I don't know about how she hits the ball. That remains to be seen. But the balance is
good.
And she's how old now?
Eight.
Yeah, okay. So she's starting to get into really formative age.
Yeah. Oh, she is.
And people knock my schedule and say, oh, it's so hard. I got it easy. She has to do mornings and nights.
I do. I have to get her ready in the morning.
I'm fun dad, and she has to do.
Yeah. I have to be bad cop most times because I get those very, I mean, right. you guys know
not
what
a
it's
bad,
like.
Good
How
bad.
Many times yeah. do you have to tell them to brush their teeth or put their, yes, right. you still have to brush your teeth today. Right. you know, I have to be the bad guy. Yeah. I have both of those. But. Yeah. It works.
I wanted to turn back for a last moment to talk a little bit about it. So I knew we were going to be talking to you all relatively soon, even though. And so I was thinking about a movie that I watched not long ago called September 5th. And it is about ABC News's coverage of the takeover of the Olympic Village.
Mm.
It is a fabulous movie.
Okay.
Rune Arledge character, you know, as they're navigating yes. what is an unprecedented unfolding of an incredibly tragic event yes. during the Olympics.
Yeah. Right.
Again, formative experience for me.
Yeah.
And so as they are covering this, they are trying, they have no information. This is literally one of those where they are running tapes back and forth
yes.
from, I can't write this. So not to give it away because it's a fun interesting part of the story to talk about technology. So I'd encourage any listener to watch this. Just it's fascinating, and the subject matter is just god awful, just horrible. But they talk about how do you cover a story like that, and one of the things they realize is that they had put for the first time ever closed circuit TVs in all of the apartments in the Olympic Village. This is the first time it ever happened. And as they are broadcasting, ABC has the rights to broadcast. As they are broadcasting, they realize
the bad guys were watching, weren't they?
Correct.
Yes, that I do remember. Yes, or hearing about it. I wasn't.
And they are trying to decide what is the ethical responsibility they have, because at one point they are showing pictures of snipers climbing up onto roofs mm-hmm. to get close to the. And the kidnappers and the athletes. Apartments
right.
are watching the television coverage,
right.
knowing that there is a – so how does media then and today navigate the right and responsibility to know versus the obligation to inform, right? So how do you manage, right? You two are, again, trained journalists. You've been doing this a long time. How do we think about – because more and more to us, media is more intrusive. There are less boundaries than there ever have been before.
Oh, yeah. Because everybody can report on whatever you're
and
doing.
And the bigger right. the get, you go back to Columbine, you yeah. mentioned that. How do you guys think about that as an industry? How do we start to reconcile what we're learning or not learning? How does someone make their way through stories today? I know it's not an easy question to answer, and it's a big question.
I think... I'm not sure what the lines of communication were between the news outlets and law enforcement, mm-hmm. you know, SWATs, whatever have you at that particular moment. But I think nowadays the lines of communication are very, very open between media and law enforcement. For a situation like that, I think if we're doing something that potentially puts their people in harm's way or puts other people in harm's way, I think they would be very open and very communicative to us. This right. is what you're doing. And then on our side, I think you have to take a step back. And yes, we have a duty to inform, but also we have to be humans, right?
Right.
And do you want that on your conscience?
Right.
I think it's a good question.
I think there are people that do.
Is that the crux of it, though? Because back then, with the story that you're talking about, they weren't communicating with each other, and then we move forward, and you communicate. You have relationships rather than
chasing. I
view it as
an ethics conversation.
And I think you always have – hit record. You can show it later. You don't have to show it right then.
Mm-hmm. That is not to give away a part of the movie. That is one of the things they ultimately start to wrestle with is live TV yeah. versus. But what's your view of all of this?
Mine, I'm going to take a much lighter view. I'm a Gemini. I have two people. I always see both sides, and that is to a fault.
I have no idea what a Gemini is.
You know,
what month are we talking?
June 15th.
We're just ending Gemini season, and I have two sides. I am to a fault. Can always see both sides. I mean, we were even struggling that with the latest news story that just came out, and I asked you. I said, I think we're reporting too much. I don't need to know this as a citizen. I don't need to know this information. But yet, you know, that is what we're the only profession protected by the Constitution. So I will say I take a lighter note. That's why I was never in news, I'm always.
That very story was the president talking about whether or not we were going to bomb Iran.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and my opinion was, why do we even know that? When we took out bin Laden, Obama didn't say anything. Yeah. He didn't say anything until afterwards.
That's interesting. So let me personalize this. You have an 8-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. You work in an industry that there are very few boundaries around now. Access to information, awareness. How are you guys managing that? And what are your thoughts about how you control context, information, and awareness for your daughter?
I don't know if it's right or wrong. I was a news family. I was raised by a news family. Mm-hmm. I have my daughter watch the news with me every night. And I'm sure people would say that that's not, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. She's too young. I disagree. It's what her dad does. It's what I'm passionate mm-hmm. about. She watches the news. We have conversations.
And she has a lot of questions, good questions.
Good
yeah.
questions. And I feel like it was Mr. Rogers who said, always look for the helpers.
Yep. Yeah. 100%.
And so, you know, that is what I do. We talk to her about things.
Yeah.
Again, am I worried about social networking? Am I worried about middle school? Am I worried about those things? 110% because of how quickly things are changing. But from a news standpoint, we are open books.
Roblox is a good example of that. She wants to get Roblox so bad.
Good point.
So bad.
Oh, yeah.
And we say...
I'm sorry, can you tell the listener what that is?
Yeah. What is it? Community gaming.
The community game thing where...
Minecraft, Roblox.
And you talk to other people and bad people. Like what we tell her, bad
is this like
people
Pong?
Get them.
Much faster, and they're all connected. So.
But they're funny looking. I'm just going to say they do look like they could belong.
The graphics are almost Atari level.
She's mad because her friends play this, and we don't want her on this because of what we do. We tell her we see the negative side of this game. You are not going to be on it.
And you know what my answer is? Don't blame me. Blame the bad people out there. It's not my fault.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly how it says it.
Weird reference, but sports for you.
Yeah.
There was an interview probably about 5 or 6 years ago, 7 years ago with Tiger Woods. Post, you know, he's kind of reconciled his fall image. From grace and all of that. And so there was he was having what's unusual, maybe unusual for him, a more open conversation. And he said, look, my children are going to read all about me on the internet.
Yeah.
At some point, they're going to know everything.
Yeah.
They're going to have access to all of this, and I just have to deal with that. You all are very public figures here in our community, right? How do you think about your daughter and her being able to understand you versus the public image of you?
I will say at an early age, it was hard for her and hard for us to teach don't talk to strangers. Because when we're out and about – do you know how many people will come up to a dinner table, or people will come up to at a store, you know, and recognize Walter and, you know, start a conversation? So she didn't have stranger danger. And that was something very scary for us. She'll go up to anybody and start talking because that's what she sees mom and dad do.
Right.
And not that it's disingenuous. Yeah. Not that it's disingenuous, but
they're just being human. Right.
Yeah. And we have to cover.
But you have to protect, a young child.
True.
Yes.
So that's been very interesting trying to navigate that about it. Now it's to the point where she thinks, you know, she'll see people, you know, on national TV. Well, mom, just talk to them. And I'm like, can't really explain the local side of things, like versus
they don't know who I am, honey.
Yeah, being able to pick up the phone and call the latest rock star that she's whatever music she's.
Yeah, you better be getting tickets to Taylor Swift.
Exactly, I can't call up Taylor, and so she kind of doesn't understand that. Well, why, mom? You're on TV. She's on TV. So I think her world is a little unique. You know, she'd be like, oh, what did dad say today? Oh, there's dad. You know, so there's going to be a lot of embarrassment as the older she gets. But there's also been some negatives.
So I was going to ask you, and, you know, you'll answer this as you see fit. But you've been public about your sobriety.
Yeah.
Right. It's been a journey that you're on as a human, and you've decided to share that in a framework that that you are comfortable with. Mm-hmm. How do you have that conversation at the right time with your daughter when she may have that information, or have we already had that conversation?
Just last night, of something. Just last night was taco night, and Walter had up a Corona Light alcohol-free. I forget what it's called. And Alex, or our daughter Alex, said something to the tune of, Dad, does that have alcohol in or something?
Yeah, I said, is that a beer? And I'm like, yeah, it's a beer. And she says, is it alcohol? And I said, no alcohol
and
in it.
And he said, I'm allergic to it. He said, there are just some people that can't handle it. And I was like, well, that is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to say daddy's allergic to it until she's old enough to understand. You know, I believe in an addiction gene, and I believe, you know, and those are going to be conversations we are going to have with her, because I do believe it's a gene.
Well, and you also don't want her to find, I would agree, it is a medicinal, you know, it is a medically recognized illness. Mm-hmm. But you want to have that conversation with her before she finds that out.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's part of the part that I kept thinking about for Tiger Woods, is he would not know necessarily whether his children found out all about this before he ever had that conversation.
Yeah. Ooh, which would be tougher.
Yes.
And
I know you're talking about a very different circumstance than he is, just to be abundantly clear about that. Yeah. But I was just struck by the idea that his children may have access to information he has no idea and find out about something he would rather talk to them about.
And I think that was a driving force for me to get sober, was that I had came to the fork of the road and I said, well, I can go down this way, where I can get a DUI, I could possibly kill somebody, I could do something else stupid while drinking that my daughter would read about later on when she gets older. Both of my parents have alcohol on their death certificates. Mm-hmm. My brother is full-fledged alcoholic. You know, he was a Marine, so he kind of self-medicates. I could go that way, or I can try this new way and you know, kind of navigate sobriety. Something new.
And he's still a great bartender to his wife, which surprises me.
Probably
most
a little
people.
Stronger than they should be, because I can't taste it.
This is what
so
I would
I'll
like.
I'll have a margarita sometime, and I'm like, good Lord, Walter, how much tequila? I don't know. I can't taste it.
My co-anchor and I, Jen and I, were talking about it to this day, because she is very sober as well. And I don't know what it is about sober people. We're like, drink it up. We'll drive.
We're open, as you can tell. What you see on TV is what you get with us.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I would
minus the cussing.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
One of the things that I would observe, it's nice about what we view as the best of journalism, which is the humanity of the journalists. Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's what we think, and one of the reasons why there are many reasons why we wanted you all to be on the podcast, but one of the things that we feel really strongly about is our community is made better by the genuine presences we have in media.
Aww.
That the vilification of the industry is just awful.
And I appreciate you recognizing that.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, we had the Tampa Bay Times came in and did their, a couple of months ago, did their, they had their all staff meeting here. And they asked me to say a few words to them. And what I shared, which is, it's obviously my own value system, but the importance of what you all do in a community like ours can't be underestimated.
Right. Well,
that while you're in the entertainment business to some extent, you have a responsibility to the community that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, to be a voice of reason, to be thoughtful, to be careful and considerate. And as you talked about, to curate the stories that come across your desks with some degree of consideration.
Yeah.
And from our perspective, in our work, right, we live with a lot of folks. So we did a campaign 5 or 6 years ago called Don't Label Hunger. And we were trying to reposition the conversation around who was hungry. One of the women that we did a feature on was a mom who had a kid that was, I want to say, 7 or 8, 9 years old. Her husband was on disability, and she was managing a lot of the household responsibilities. She was a little firmer in stature. The number of Facebook posts we got about, well, she could lose a few pounds by eating a bit less.
Oh.
Right?
Right. And there was a college student that had on a neck chain. It's like, you know, maybe he shouldn't have a chain and afford food.
Yeah.
It's like.
Right. The vilification of these humans that we were trying. Right. But this happens in the social media world where there's not a sense of responsibility. I think one of the things we would say is that we're glad there's still responsibility in your profession. And that we think that's important for our work, because we're trying to tell true stories. Mm-hmm. You know, as we've said many times before, the people we serve are heroes. They're living with and dealing with choices that most of us would never want to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
And unfortunately, there's a viewpoint of them as shiftless or lazy or unconcerned with their own personal responsibilities. And our experience could not be further from the truth.
And I will just say, I've gotten to, you know, especially Shannon, you're in regularly, and I've been educated from the both of you so much. And, you know, people will say, and I know, like, some of the serious journalism questions, you know, I kept kind of pointing to Walter because that's more of Walter's side of things. The thing that I love best about my job, and the both of you included, is it doesn't matter who I'm talking to for the 9 interviews we do a day. I may speak with someone like yourselves mm-hmm. who are trying to change perceptions, trying to help others, or I may talk with somebody whose passion is roofing.
Right.
But it doesn't matter because you know what? That person who's doing roofing, he's passionate about his yeah. business and feeding his family yes. and, you know, keeping the roof over his home. So he has a passion that you guys have. So it's really – I'm in a awesome place yeah. that I love because I get to share all of those messages yeah. that I feel we need more of a platform for because you mm-hmm. see the negative comments.
Yes.
We need to be able to share. And it doesn't matter if it's a plumber, a roofer, someone who's yeah. behind air conditioning, a jeweler – or yourselves,
right.
it's still positive. But they make
up the feeling positive,
right? They, but they make up the fabric of our community.
Absolutely.
And you know, I would just finish by saying I'm just grateful that y'all are here and y'all are doing this. I think we're better for it.
Vice versa. I mean, you guys are doing yeoman's work here, and opening our eyes to the different struggles in our own community, our own backyard,
and, of our friends and neighbors.
Yep.
And we've used you guys as an example to our daughter already. We've talked about it. I was having a conversation just last night before we came, what we were doing and the good work that you do.
We'll have her on the podcast next.
Yeah, she would love it.
She would love it. And she wouldn't stop talking. You guys wouldn't get a word in.
I picked her up at flag football. The head football coach at her school came up to me and said, "Your girl is a talker." And I said, "Yeah, I don't know where she gets that from." Yeah. Gets it from her dad.
That's a nice way of saying, "Well, just she shut up, please."
Gets her from her dad, not her mom.
All right. Are we going to give them one table or two tables?
I think we give them a table of 8. So this is a question that we ask every guest.
Oh.
Because everything good happens around the table, mm-hmm. right? Whether you're at home, you're here at the podcast, even when you're at your news desk or even when you're at the table at work too, right? So there's 8 seats. You guys take 2 of them. And you can invite 6 people to the table.
Living
Anyone.
Or dead.
Living, yeah, or dead, living or dead. Someone you wish to meet. Someone who's influenced you from afar. Who would be at that table with you guys for that moment?
Now, you can divide them up equally because we're giving you a larger table.
Yeah,
or you can just give most to the wife.
These are choices the two of you are going to make.
He knows.
Yeah, but you've got to cut. Do you have 2? And she could fill the rest of the table.
I think I'm going to go more.
I think you and I would probably say the same person.
Go ahead.
Yes. It depends. Are you going to go emotional or are you going to go...
Well, don't inspired. No. Wait, don't ask.
See,
go.
That's the thing. We can do these things
yes,
together.
Yes. I'm like
know.
This, like start looking at each other.
We know.
I think former President Barack Obama would be one, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Both of us would agree on
okay.
that.
Okay,
yeah, good choice, smart guy.
I have always in any time I talk to a school student, a tour, I always bring up Maya Angelou. So, in okay. her quote, you always make fun of me when I tell the kids.
Not because of this. I just, you refer to it a lot. And so I just tease
him.
He's
brought some serious game to his guests. I hope you have equal.
I know.
And what the saying is nobody will remember what you did or what you said, but they'll always remember how you made them feel.
Yes.
And so that's always stuck in my head. So there's 2. You can have the rest.
There you go.
Okay. So I would first say my mentor, I've already talked about her once because I watched her documentary, hands down, Barbara Walters.
Yep.
I would want Barbara to sit down, watch my interviews, see what she thinks I need to do different. Like, I want a critique.
Yes.
Can we break off and do
this
a critique
just
during the dinner?
No, there's we asked you one very simple question.
You're talking about
dinner.
Okay. Barbara Walters. Uh-huh. And then I'm going to go more on the people who've passed. Past, and I'm going to go more relatives.
Okay.
Walter's grandmother, for instance, from Bari, Italy, I would want to have a meal with her and see what her thoughts are about what we've done, what the gifts that she's passed down to us, see where she is.
Mm-hmm.
I would do the same for my grandparents, I feel like. So I feel like that would push me over. So we're kind of going some professional, but then also some, you know, from the heart.
One of my ongoing favorites is still Mom, Dad, and Babe Ruth.
one
of our guests.
That's a good one.
Love that one. Often people, you know, it's interesting because the table does have a lot of, you know, as you talked about with your daughter and you all having meals together and that sense of, and folks, my choices were largely intellectual. I would love to be able to pick brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But a lot of folks, one of my choices would be my mother. She didn't see who I became. She died, right? And I would really very much like her to see the man
Absolutely.
I am today. Right?
His mother, too.
Right. It's but they're tough choices. But we have another question as a part of our.
What are you serving?
And why?
Carbonara.
If I
knew how to make it, I would.
Carbonara.
If I knew how to make it.
We need, actually, well, if your grandmother would be there.
She would make it for us.
Yeah, she would make it for us. And your mom would make it too. It was the first meal she ever made.
They'd be working in the kitchen together.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. Yep. Carbonara, hands down.
Yeah, my grandmother, she.
Maybe a nice caprese.
When you came in the picture, my grandmother had Alzheimer's at that time. Yeah. So
I never really got
you
to
never,
see
her. Yeah, you never really saw her in her element.
And she was inspiring to Walter. Mm. And that relationship was very special. So that's where I gave one of my seats.
Former vice consul to Italy in Denver.
Oh, goodness.
So she was a very when we cleaned out, she passed. My grandfather passed, and my grandmother was in the nursing home in the memory wing. We had to clean out her house during COVID, so we had to take an RV out there. We cleaned
terrible.
Out. It was awesome.
That is so interesting.
You didn't even have to. It was terrible. We're definitely going over.
You didn't even have to clean the toilet thing.
The RV was terrible.
It was not the cleanest. It was what it was. It was not the greatest.
Florida to Colorado. Who does that? We
did
that.
But we got to go through like newspaper clippings and, you know, her with Federico Pena, the, you know, energy secretary of the United States. And just remarkable.
He didn't even know all the things.
Yeah, I don't know any of that. Like all that stuff. Yeah.
Actually, I know we're about out of time. But let me ask one more question of each.
Okay.
Who's the coolest person you interviewed? Like you say, this is a person I wanted to interview more than anybody else. Like who is the coolest person you interviewed?
Typically you'd think sports, which I have gotten the pleasure to meet and interview Michael Jordan, which is incredible. John Travolta. I know he's here in the Bay
Before
Area.
Before he lost the hair?
He had just started rocking the bald look and we sat down and
That's
we had a good moment.
In a guy.
And he complimented me when I was done. And hugged me and we took pictures together and he even said when I had walked out, he said, now that was a good interview.
Is he as charismatic in person as he is? Because Saturday Night Fever was just is an incredible.
That and then some. He absolutely was. Intimidating. There was a noise in the background when our interview first started, which I saw Barbara Walters clips kind of did this too and was like, excuse me. And he said it in his very John Travolta sweet voice. Excuse me. I'm ready to start. Is there something else going on here? And I was like, oh. So I could feel like the hive start up on my face. But we still, I had him laughing and it was, so that was definitely my highlight.
Okay.
I would like to, my number one goal for our podcast is to get Joe Madden back on because he is.
Great guy.
He is an enlightened cat, right? Yeah. A philosopher. Yeah. He's interesting. But I will say I would want to talk to Barack Obama.
Again.
I interviewed him for 2 minutes in Casper, Wyoming. For some reason, the stars aligned that the Democrats in a very – like one of the reddest states in the union had to caucus in Wyoming. So, you know, my co-anchor got to interview Hillary. I got to interview Barack. And it was one of those things. My back was turned. He came in. He said a few words to so-and-so. And it was like, you know, when people have it. Like you hear that voice and I'm like, whoa, like it's like the energy in the room shifted. Like I'm sure, you know, probably anybody who's elected president has that kind of, you know,
present
that aura. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
All right. Sorry. That wasn't our final. Our final question was really your, but I forgot to ask
like
that.
These.
That's okay. Okay. So guys, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
Taking
for
the time.
Us,
I know this is when we're taping and the audio on this. It's the end of your day, especially yours. So I really do appreciate you guys taking the time and stopping by here after work and everything that you do for us. Seriously, you're a phone call away for Feeding Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Every time, and we really appreciate it. You have helped us grow to where we are today by using your voices and your influence, and I can't thank you enough.
I hope so.
Well, this is where Ev, the voice of God, would normally step in.
Okay, let's hear it.
But no, he's
nope,
he
I'm
is
share my mic.
He is, but we
the
we,
time has come. No.
Yeah, we really appreciate. Shannon said relative to our work, but I would say relative to our community, we're lucky to have you in it.
Yeah.
Well, we're lucky to have you guys. I mean. I think this is one of the few communities where news is still relevant. You know, our numbers are still, you know, they're still going strong. And I think it's because people need to be informed when it comes to hurricanes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you guys are hand in hand. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in our community, and you guys do that great work. So we're very appreciative of Feeding Tampa Bay.
All right. That's another one in the books.
It is. Thank you, guys.